Welcome, everybody. This is How to English with Gavin M.
It's a podcast about teaching and learning English as a foreign language.
All opinions stated are personal and source materials will be referenced where possible. Hello.
Hi, Gav.
Hi, Em.
How are you?
I'm good. You know what we're doing, don't you?
Yes.
What is it?
We are doing a podcast.
Okay, yeah. So this is, I think this is episode 16, you know.
No, is it?
Yeah.
No, I've lost count now.
I've memorised them because the previous one was writing.
Mm.
Before that was reading.
Mm.
13 was pronunciation. 12, you remember?
A partridge in a... No.
Vocabulary.
Okay.
And 11 was grammar.
Well, you are very organised.
I'm really organised. So that means... Go on, you got a question.
I just wanted to say, sorry, before you drum roll the new one.
Yeah.
Should we mention the fact that we're saying how to something. Like a noun?
Yeah, it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Well... Maybe we should just address the elephant in the room, that it is intentionally bad English,
kind of.
Yes, there's no doubt it is bad English.
It is, yeah.
Because we teach our students, you never use to with a noun, like it's always with an infinitive, a verb.
Yes.
How to do something, how to speak, how to
listen.
And here we are just flouting the rules. But it's in a funny way, isn't it?
It's supposed to be funny, yeah. I think I mentioned in a much earlier episode about the... You're shaking your head.
We didn't talk about it.
I did. I said the title came from my students constantly saying how to say...
Did we?
Yeah, okay. and I thought that was a... We thought that was a great title.
Which isn't as bad as how to noun, is it? I mean, how to say is actually not awful. Yeah. But anyway...
But there's a lot of how-tos, aren't there? Where people talk about how to something.
With a pause. Like how to...
Yeah.
Cook.
Dramatic pause.
But that's a verb. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Or even maybe a colon.
Okay.
But we're just being funny. Let's just put that out there.
Okay, yeah. I thought people realise we're being funny, but you're right. Sometimes you just got to tell people.
I think we're into episode 16, as you've just said, might be the right time to say it.
It's not too late.
Without any further ado, would you like to announce the next episode?
I would, but first of all...
Oh. Suspenseful.
I just wanted to tell people that this podcast is for TEFL teachers and it's for learners all over the world.
Yeah, it's for anyone, really.
It is. And we're here to bring them some tips on teaching and learning English in other countries, for example.
Yeah.
Because maybe we didn't mention this at episode one either.
No, it's all coming to us now. But
it is.
Better late than never.
I absolutely agree. So here we go, drum roll. How to...
Listening.
I was going to do a really long pause and then say listening.
Oh, all right.
It doesn't matter. Right, let's go. Now, I've got a couple of things in mind, but I think I should let you start.
Well, I'll start with listen to podcasts.
Oh, of course, yeah.
That's always good.
Yes. You know what? Before we even start, I think we should talk about...
We already have.
Preparing yourself for listening.
Oh, like clean your ears, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that's it. Cotton buds, get that wax out. Mm. And then because, and I know you say that I do mention exams a bit too often, but again, when you're doing exams, you should predict what's coming up.
Uh-huh.
So if you sit down, you open the paper, or even, I mean, exam paper, not newspaper, you need to think, like, what's going to come next? What am I going to listen to? For example, you read the question, it says, you are going to listen to two people decide what time to take the bus to school. And then you hear a conversation that says, hey, Paul, let's go at 12 o'clock. And then Paul says, no, I want to go at 9 o'clock. And then the first person says, no, let's decide 11. And then Paul says, okay. And you will hear all that information. But if you're prepared for it and you think there are going to be two people talking, they're going to talk about lots of different numbers and I need to be ready to catch the correct one.
Got ya.
Do you see what I mean by prepare for it?
Yeah.
And it doesn't only have to be for exams. It could be if you're going to make a telephone call to your boss in America and you need to tell your boss, I quit.
Ooh, that's quite traumatic. Yeah. Think about all those negative things that you don't like about the job that you're ready with.
But exactly.
Also, yeah, what's going to come back at you?
That's it. What do you expect to hear? Not only what are you going to say, but what do you think that person is going to say to you? So be prepared for listening
before we even
start listening.
I think that's a very good tip.
Okay, but you said podcasts. I do like podcasts. Have you got any favourite podcasts?
Yes, BBC are very good. They do...
Like BBC, do they do the documentaries? Oh, science.
Yeah, there's a lot of science, there's history, but
Science Focus is called.
Yeah, as a student of English, I think it can be quite lengthy to go to straight into like the 30, 40 minute podcasts that they have. So there are a couple of really good ones that are short and quite...
There's 50 things that made the modern economy.
Yes, I like that. I really like that one. Okay. And the other one is 30 animals that made us smarter. And they're both sort of within 7 to 10 minutes
both
long.
So from the BBC, both very, very good. And that, like you said, they're not too long. And did you know, before we list any more, that you can change the speed of the podcast? I don't know if all of the podcast players have them, but Spotify, for example, not that that's any better than any others, you can reduce the speed to be like 0.25%.
Can you do that on YouTube as well?
You can.
So that is a good tip.
It is. And
you can also make it faster if you want more challenging English.
Which lots of people do. They make it faster also because it's
time.
A bit boring.
Yeah, so it's really good to know. I didn't know that actually until recently. So that's a good tip.
Especially for learners.
What about audiobooks? Can you do it
with
them?
I haven't finished with my favourite podcast yet.
Sorry.
Dear Hank and John is very funny. It's really good for young people, teens, or anyone.
Quite high level, but
it's quite difficult, but it's really, really funny, and it's nice to listen to something that's funny, engaging, and a little bit silly.
Yeah, I agree.
There's also very popular is these kind of murder podcasts that people enjoy hearing the details about people getting murdered, and I know one of the most famous is Serial. Mm-hmm. So that's good. I think it's 3 series of that.
It's quite addictive, that one.
Yes.
Again, I think that is quite high level and it's quite specific to, like, I don't know, courtroom English and forensics. And so if you're a fan of CSI and those kind of TV programmes, I think that would be a good one.
Yes, yes. But again, like we said for the episode 14 for reading, we said choose topics that you like, choose books or things that you like, and then
absolutely listen to it. So go for something you would always enjoy, I think is good advice. That moving on quite well into audiobooks, the same for that. I think we mentioned that in the reading episode that pick an audiobook that you would read.
Yes.
Naturally, in your own language. Do you think the speed's adaptable on the audiobooks as well?
I can't remember.
No, I can't.
Probably.
Should be. Yeah.
So, you can check that.
And have you got any recommendations for audiobooks?
Nope.
No.
Okay. Well, I mean, the ones you mentioned last time. Definitely, but
I don't mean so much the authors. I mean who is actually reading the book, because I know Stephen Fry does a lot of that, doesn't
brilliant.
He?
Brilliant, yes.
And he's got a lovely voice.
That you makes
could just
a big difference.
Listen to that; it's like honey dripping into your ears, which maybe isn't such a nice thing. But I think he does a lot of the Harry Potter, doesn't he?
I think he does. That's a really good recommendation.
Yeah,
and that makes a big difference when choosing an audiobook. You need somebody who you can enjoy listening to for 12 hours or whatever it is. Good tip.
Absolutely.
I was going to say the books that I do recommend, because I was thinking about this since last time you mentioned it, and I do recommend travel writers to my students, like Paul Theroux and Bill Bryson. They've both got, but they can be hard to read still.
You don't have to read it. You can listen.
To understand, maybe I meant.
Yeah.
That's it. But I like travel writers. I think they're really good for students. And students love learning about other cultures.
Yeah, I agree. So where else can you listen to things? I think, of course, films, movies, TV.
Yeah.
What about subtitles, Gav? What's your feeling about subtitles?
Use them if you have to. I find that when I've got subtitles on, even if the film's in English, I just read them and I don't listen anymore and I stop looking at the screen. But I think for many learners, they just need the subtitles. Use it as a kind of reference.
I think it's a combination as well. You can have the film with the subtitles in your own language, with the audio in English. You can have the subtitles in English and the audio in English.
Yep.
You can then just take away the subtitles maybe after you've watched it once, you rewatch it without any help.
That's true.
So it's really good training.
Yep.
I don't remember the link name, but there's I think it is YouTube. If you put in movies for English learning or something like that, there's a really good little series that's got a 3-minute clip of a film, all different genres.
That's good.
And it gives you the first clip with subtitles, the second clip without subtitles, and then it asks you some comprehension questions.
That sounds amazing.
And it is great, but I really can't remember what it's called.
Maybe we'll revisit the topic of online, and because we've done a bit of tech, but we could go into detail with that.
Yeah, we probably should.
That sounds very good.
Some actual links in notes.
I think I mentioned news before, news in levels. Again, that's really good listening.
Yeah.
And then you've got probably the subtitles there. There's the tape script if you can't follow exactly what they're saying.
So tape script, absolutely. I mean, the books, the textbooks we use in the lessons are really good. They've got everything, haven't they?
From a teacher's point of view.
And students' point of view, if you want to listen with the audio script or without, and you can...
But the teacher needs to give permission to do that. It's not like the student's going to just, well... Do students have students' books and they don't have teachers? I suppose they do, really.
You've answered your own question there.
Okay. But that's a good tip for teachers. If you're doing listening with the students, you can just turn to the back of the book and you can get the students to identify some of the key language. So remember, there's always support for listening, because listening is one of the hardest skills for students.
Yes, it is. And I think it's... maybe feared a little bit by students. It does make them nervous a lot of the time, especially if you know you start a recording and say this is long and really difficult, but don't worry.
I always say that you don't have to answer everything.
It's hard, isn't it?
You don't have to understand every word.
Whether to just be really optimistic and be like you're going to be fine, or just to prepare my students to say it's going to be hard, you're going to struggle, don't worry about it. Which one's best? I don't know.
Well, you can break it down, can't you, in that case, and just play bits of it.
Yeah, you have to know your class, I think. You have to know what they're capable of, not overwhelm them. And I think anything longer than a minute is just very demanding.
Yeah. Make sure you play the right recording, because I have a number of times in the lesson said to students, right, this is Sam, and he's talking to his aunt about moving to the countryside. And then you press play, and it says, hello, would you like one or two cups of coffee?
Yeah.
And the students look at you like, teacher, are you sure this is the right recording? And I'm standing there thinking, I'm sure they're going to start talking about the right topic soon. And it never happens.
Well, it's good to be prepared and even listen to it. I think that's the golden rule as
first.
A teacher. You have to actually have... heard the recording to know what's coming up.
And it's okay to play it twice. You play it three times, you play it four times, as many times as you need until you get it.
Yeah.
But then you might need to realise at some point the students aren't going to get it and then they need more support.
Well, in that case, you know, the old-fashioned version of teaching, which is to pre-teach any complicated or difficult language just to give the students some support, which is always good. But I've started to be a bit more organic with it, I think, just to try and make my students feel like this is real life and you don't get pre-taught the vocabulary in real life, so you have to just jump in and try and understand it and not be scared and not block yourself, you know, for the first couple of seconds if you don't know every word. Some students just stop. Their ears close and they're like, no, can't understand. But it's just getting a general idea, even if you can just say, well, that was about football. You know,
it was at an airport.
Even something.
If it's that... Don't make the first task too difficult. You don't need to find the details. I think you mentioned that in the reading lesson. Probably. You said, like, just get a very general idea about the text. And the same with listening. Get a general idea about the listening.
Yeah.
And then you can say to the students, right, now I want to know the details.
Exactly.
So, how much was that cup of coffee?
That's it. So as a teacher, it's important to remember that, not to bombard them with questions and
for
detail.
The students, don't just, like you said, don't be stressed. You won't understand every word. This is where you have to start picking out the important words.
Yeah.
So in real life, you walk up to the counter and you say, I'd like a cup of coffee, please. And then they list off 10 different types of coffee. Mm-hmm. But when you eventually choose your coffee, you need to know how much they're asking.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, yeah.
Or you just use a credit card and then you don't need to know how much. Yeah.
Gav, would you like a tea?
You know I only drink coffee.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think that could be arranged.
Oh?
Followers, if you enjoy listening, watching or reading Gavin M's How to English Pod, visit coffee.com/How to English Pod.
That's coffee, ko-fi.com/How to English Pod. And it would be lovely if you bought us a tea or a coffee to show us support. You could even get a mention on our show if you'd like.
And with higher level students, I think it's really good to, if you give them a listening from a book, make it harder. So maybe put some music on in the background or have a conversation with somebody in the background. I don't know what exactly, but I remember that actually, I think it might have been an exam group, just that it's not a realistic situation that you're going to be in a room where you can hear a pin drop and there's going to be no background noise happening.
Yeah.
You know, often you're... As you said in the beginning of the, you know, episodes, you're in a coffee shop and you're trying to have a conversation with someone and it's very demanding on the listener to understand everything.
Definitely.
But that's life.
It is. I do that. I've done that in the classroom. Just put some music on in the background and they say, but teacher, we can't hear ourselves talking. And I said, well, that is life. Sometimes it's really hard to hear people and then you have to find strategies to communicate. They end up just shouting at each other. That's okay. Talking of music, should we talk about music?
Yeah, absolutely. Music,
that's one that you've mentioned before.
Great resource.
You mentioned it in the pronunciation.
Okay, you're really keeping up.
I'm really good at this.
I love songs. I would always say use songs you like because you're going to have that song in your head for the rest of the week. So just, you know.
If you're a teacher.
Anyone. As a teacher. So choose one that you don't mind singing yourself over and over and over.
Oh, right. If you teach this, just one lesson all week, song.
No, not even that. I remember doing, I think, Ed Sheeran once and just that was it. It was in my head for the whole the whole week, so I didn't mind. It was quite catchy though.
Some of those are very catchy songs. They use expressions that really catch on in our culture, so you'll see them rather than just the language you get from your student book is really standard English, but then when you listen to songs you get real colloquial expressions.
There's good resources in English File for songs, so
there are.
They use them and they've got those really dodgy copies that they put in, which I must admit I always find the original song and play.
Those books.
Yeah,
you don't use the original songs.
You can if you want.
On the CD that come with the student's book.
You can,
find them. Find the original.
I much prefer the original, but you have to be careful because sometimes they cut lines out of the original.
Really?
So maybe there's something a bit rude or something, or it was too
long.
It's
okay. You do rude English. It's okay, as long as they're adults.
Yeah, all right. I'm not saying that, but it's just because if you're using the book resource, the photocopy might not match the original recording.
Yeah, I understood that. Yeah,
all right,
yeah.
You just seem to have an issue with rude. I'd
in that case, then you should rewrite the. So I'm guessing you're talking about English file.
Yeah, I did mention
at the back of the book they've got all the singing tasks and it's basically gap fills.
Yeah,
but
usually
if the text, the lyrics on the back are wrong, then you have to rewrite them, teacher.
Yeah,
you
don't even have to do that. You just go to Google, put in lyrics to that song, and then copy paste.
That's it. And
you
then blank out the ones
sit
that
there
were
writing it all out. You should always listen through once though, just to make sure it does match what you've got on the paper.
Yes.
It's happened to me many times where they've looked up lost.
Yes.
The students have been like, well, where are we? And I'm sorry,
okay.
It's not that. It's
I guess that any teacher would also check their resources first. They wouldn't just arrive at the lesson and then open the book, switch on the recording without preparing
that. You just gave me a very good example of you doing exactly that. So, I love songs. Gap fills. English file does more than just gap fills. I think there are lots of, is there a mistake in the line? If it's a mistake, correct it. And I really like just cutting up the lyrics and giving them out in sort of little packs.
Yes.
I love the bits
you
of
like
paper.
Bits of paper, cut them
and
up.
Then they just... The students just listen to the song, and as they listen to the song, they put the words into the right order.
Do students enjoy that?
They love it.
Do they?
Love it. It's a bit stressful. You've got to think about how big the chunks should be, not like every sentence.
Okay.
Because that is quite hard. But if you do like two or three lines together, then all they have to do is listen for that part and maybe catch a couple of things.
And you'll have verses and choruses, and then they'll start recognising patterns.
It, yeah.
And also, it's good for rhyming words.
Of course, yeah. So, give them a good couple of minutes before you play the song just to look at all the words.
That's also really... Yeah, exactly. Show, make sure you look at the materials first, share the materials. Before you do the activity, the students run through this, read through this. Also, you can say to them, can you put the song in the right order before we even started?
Yeah, if they know the song. And that's another good thing. Get the students to give you the song, like to request the song.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can do any song and...
Their favourite songs.
Yeah.
I did that one time. It was really rude.
Oh, well,
I think it was a Beyoncé song and it was like... I said to the student, do you know what this is about? And she said, no. And I said, well, I'm not going to tell you. It was really rude.
Yeah. Well, that's it. Within reason, you know.
Yes.
Just let them give you the ideas.
Yes.
I like that.
I do. A good tip from me is, because you mentioned YouTube, is to type in, I think, conversations in English. And you can just listen to speakers talking to each other, having, like a bit like what we're doing. We're just having a conversation on a topic, but they cover lots of different topics. So it could be home, you know, travel, it could be family, could be any of these kind of things.
Mm-hmm.
So I really recommend that. So type that in, conversations in English.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, you hear different accents. So you'll have British, American, Australian, New Zealand.
Yeah, I wanted to mention about accents because I think it's really important as a student to try and expose yourself to as many different accents from as many places and not feel scared. Just, you know, really try as much, you know, American, British, Scottish.
Mm-hmm. Have you got any anecdotes about that?
No, I haven't really prepared any anecdotes.
Okay.
Have you?
No. I was thinking it's really good to get resources. From a teacher's point of view, get as many resources on different accents. Don't only focus on your own accent, or if don't only teach American English or British English. Remember, the students will come across different accents. That's really, really important.
And as a student, listen to other students and see that as something very valid as well. I think some students think that they have to just follow the teacher, or they want to only listen to the teacher, and I think that's a shame, because I think your peers and your
classmates
can really help you, and you can recognize, you know, maybe some of the mistakes they're making, and also just how well you can understand what they're saying. And and it's really, I mean, it depends on how you're teaching as well, like what country you're in. A lot of the time it's the same nationality together, and then there is a bit of an issue of, well, why are we listening to each other if we can speak in our own language? But that's valid as well. I think that's really, really good. Of course, the best situation is when there's a mixed class and then everybody has a reason to listen to each other. And it's like, it's much more, I think it's the development is much faster because there is a need for that.
And they're forced and also, to speak
They're
English.
Forced, and also their accents are not familiar to each other. So it's really, really good.
Yeah, because if you're doing business in Europe, English will just be the lingua franca. So listening to as many accents as possible is really going to be an advantage to you.
And my students often say that it's the non-native speakers that are easier to understand, in fact, and they have a much better communication with them.
Yes.
It's when they meet a native speaker that suddenly they realise they're having trouble. But that's, you know, no reason not to try.
No.
And to, if you can, as a student, just pick up the phone if you can. Dive into conversations. Don't just sort of stay in email because it's easier.
Yeah. If you've got colleagues in other countries, really, just the sooner you start practicing speaking English, the quicker your skills will improve.
Yep, that's it.
Okay, good. Have you got anything else? I remembered also we said of English file, hasn't it got some listening with two people going on dates or something? Or who are they called? Rob and Jenny. That's good.
The new version of Mark and Ally.
That's it. What happened to Mark and Ally?
I don't know.
Okay.
I think it just trailed off, didn't it? I didn't get to the end, actually, of that.
No.
Hopefully
they lived
over
happily.
Over and over and over.
Happily ever after.
I hope so. Yeah, I'm sure it all worked out nice in the end, as things usually do.
Okay. And so they're really good listening, like everyday situations, English file, what they called, like everyday English or something?
Something like that,
Some section
practical
of
English, maybe.
That's it, yeah. They're really good listening exercises. Anything else?
No, I think.
I was going to mention devices. I think that some of our listeners use those smart speakers, You know, like, I don't know if I should say the word, because if I say the word, it's going to trigger that person's device. But
you can't.
I can't say it. No, okay. But, like, for example, if you've got an iPhone, you say, isn't it Siri?
Mm-hmm.
And Google, have got OK Google and
Cortana and all those.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you can practice your listening skills with those because they've got activities in them.
You can.
You can talk to them and then they tell you stuff, or they've got games on there. Really good for little kids if you teach them.
Yeah, they are. But I think I've had students say that they've bought an Alexa and they couldn't actually communicate with her because she didn't understand their accent.
Okay.
So,
well, that's
what
their
a great
fault.
Challenge.
Yeah, make it
just
understand.
Get to that point where she does understand.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely. Hold on. That's not even this episode. That's speaking. I was focusing on listening.
Yeah, where did you? You just took us somewhere else. Yeah.
I did, but I did a clever thing. I said, do the listening. So you have to listen to it.
All right.
Not speak to it.
All
you
right.
took it around. All right.
Next week.
That's
we'll
probably
talk
next
about
week,
that.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
All right. So summarising, we've got loads of platforms. We've got, we keep mentioning YouTube, and we mentioned podcasts and music and radio. I don't think we've mentioned radio, but that's really good, even though they do speak a bit fast.
Yeah, but if you listen to the same radio station every day and the same DJs, then you start to, or presenters, you start to get familiar with them. So
yes,
that's nice.
That's true. And I think you can listen to little bits of the radio broadcast.
Mm-hmm.
So again, if that's on a podcast or if it's on YouTube, you can probably slow it down. There might be ways of doing that. Look into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we mentioned audiobooks. And what else? We had our
songs and films and TV and many different accents.
That was it. Oh, I didn't mention the for business English, you've got Market Leader, and they've got all the videos that go with that, with some of the additions. So it's not just listening, although you can just play the audio. You can also watch the videos, and they're really good.
I think
really
a lot of the new books now have videos. Yeah. So
video good. Or just the audio. It's all listening. All of it's listening practice. Key, take home. Again, choose something that you like, something that you enjoy, something that you want to listen to. Unless you're an exam student and then you've got to listen to everything. I'm really sorry. Just as much as possible.
Okay. Or if you're working in an English-speaking country. Or
yes.
Then you just got to listen to people.
Ideally, yeah. Just sit in a cafe and just keep introducing yourself to strangers.
Mm. I remember when I was learning other languages and I would often sit in coffee shops and just try and eavesdrop. Or catch as you walk past people in the street. Just try and catch this sort of couple of seconds of what they're talking about and see if you can understand.
Sit on the bus with people and just sort of, you said, eavesdrop.
Yeah, just to see how much you understand. Or alternatively, just put headphones on and listen to a podcast or audio book.
Like, for example, How to English Teach and Learn with Gav and Em.
Oh, nice plug.
That was good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Can you plug your own product that somebody's actually listening to? Okay. And if you know anybody that would like to listen to us, pass on, share, let them know how hilariously, entertainingly educational this is. And next week, we're going to do some... Is it how to speaking?
I think so, yeah.
Okay, so how to... speaking.
It must be the last.
We need to put the pause in, do we?
Well, I don't mind it without the pause. Just know that it's ironic.
Okay, we're being ironic. Good. All right. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Thanks to Em.
Thanks to you, Gav.
And see you next week.
Yeah, take care.
See ya.